Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Do you want to dance? Yeah. How are you now? See, we spoke to Dr. Peter Lovett yesterday, Dr. Dance, and I'm full of it now. The things that dancing can do for you. It's good for your mind, it's good for your body, it's good for your mood, it's good for problem solving. The way he was talking yesterday, there is not a thing that dance can't solve. That's the way he was talking, Dr. Dance. So for the next while, if we're in the mood, we'll play a little bit of an instrumental thing. We'll run out of them very fast, I know. I have a few in my head. Green Onions is one, and Classical Gas, and there's a few more. We'll play them just to start us off. How are you? A man who was dancing, actually. We better mention him. Garda Inspector Pat Meaney. He's going to cheer up your day. It's on independent.ie. He served in an Garda Síochána for 41 years and 3 months. And he left during the week. And it's a brilliant piece. So somebody comes in, you know, it's your final day. And he says, yeah. And he's taken off his tie, quick release ties. We found that out on Bernard O'Shea the other night, quick release ties. Hat, and he says, doing that for the last time. And he was taking off his various things and opened up his top button. And then before he goes, he dances his way out. And it's just one of those things. It's unexpected. Well, now you'll expect it because I've told you, but it's unexpected when you see it for the first time and it just makes you smile. So happy retirement to Garda Inspector Pat Meaney. He said he's going to play golf, he's going to read a little bit more, and he's going to do a lot of partying. And when he left the Garda station, he brought with him the Crown Radio cassette, a Crown Radio cassette that he got from his parents when he left the Garda College in Templemore in 1980, which is 41 years ago and 3 months. Big fan of music, so I hope he has a nice retirement there. Rod Ponton, does that name ring a bell? Well, he is one of the stars of lockdown because he is the man who became a kitten while trying to do a very serious job as a lawyer in some sort of legal court Zoom thing in America. Remember him? You do remember him. We spoke to him on the show. Just to remind you.
Can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
I'm not a cat. That's just such a brilliant line. And Rod was great fun as well, and he went viral. And now the New Yorker magazine have made a documentary about that very cat and how Rod got into that position. And seemingly Rod wasn't the only person. They've discovered that the kitten, which, you know, if you press the wrong buttons on your computer, you become the kitten and your mouth moves when, or the kitten's mouth moves when your mouth moves, and its cat eyes move when your eyes move. Anyway, it was a default setting on Dell laptops. And they even go as far in the documentary to trace the original cat. So they found the cat owner called Loma in Taiwan. And then from Loma, they got the information that the parents of the cat were called Meow Meow, of course, and Little Adorable. And Meow Meow and Little Adorable had a family of 5 kittens, and they were known as the mice. Of course they were. They were kittens. They were known as the mice. And the kitten that we know now as the lawyer cat, made famous by Rod Ponton, was the eldest of the cats, or even the kittens, and he was known as Eldest Mouse. So there, that's all sorted out there. While we're on pets and animals and all that, one of the other things that's come out of lockdown is that people are preparing their pets' food from scratch. Is that you? Do you cook for your cat or your dog? DIY dog food is all the rage. And now people are sharing recipes for dog food and cat food. I don't know if it's going to take off. And there's some lovely sounds doing the rounds. See if you can spot what this is. We're still on animals. What is this?
Oh,
That's a little pony eating. That's a little pony eating, you know? Yeah. You know, Cathy Davies and Neil Hannon's place out there where they take in horses and all sorts of animals, and that's a recording of a little pony eating. Sounds good. And this is a 5-month-old bulldog. There you go. I heard Joe talking about the Suez Canal there. There's a great satellite photo doing the rounds which will give you a bird's eye view not only of the Ever Given, which is the evergreen 400-metre ship that's stuck across the Suez Canal, but it'll also give you an idea of the number of ships waiting to travel up the 120-mile Suez Canal. It's doing the rounds there. You might spot that. And do you know what's doing the rounds as well? A promo for a new TV programme produced by Sharon Horgan, Irish, and starring Brian Gleeson and his brother Donal, called Frank of Ireland. And it looks brilliant. I watched it this morning. It's coming to Amazon Prime in April, and I'm really looking forward to that. It looks very, very funny. 5 on 5 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. The Catman on Zoom was my favourite thing from lockdown. Made me cry laughing, said Susan. And my issue with dancing is that I look like an idiot when I dance. Could never get past that. Well, Dr. Dance yesterday was saying that you start lying down and you imagine your favourite dance song in your head, and then you let it take over your body and you do little movements. Let the rhythm get into your, you know, your hand, and then your other hand, and maybe then into your 2 feet, maybe up through your knees and your thighs and into your hips, and then you're moving your hips, and then the whole body is shaking, and then step up off the bed, do a bit of shimmying around the place. And then before you know it, you're dancing. That's what he recommends. That's what he recommends. Now, our quiz of today. We've loads to do today. After 4 o'clock, we're looking for 2 people to answer questions on events that happened on this day, the 26th of March, over the years, the decades and the centuries. And our prize today, as all week, comes courtesy of Electric Ireland, who want to help us all be smarter about how we manage our energy usage. And with the launch of their smart meter price plans, they're going to help us do exactly that. Search Electric Ireland smart meters to find out more. And thanks to Electric Ireland, the person who wins our quiz of today, will get for themselves a brand new 50-inch HD smart TV. It's a great prize. So 2 people after 4 o'clock, answer a few questions, have a bit of a chat, and maybe win a 50-inch HD smart TV. But first, you have to answer our qualifying question, which is this. This weekend, do the clocks go back or forward? Do the clocks go back or forward, and what does that mean for the number of hours we will have in bed? 1850 715 900. 1850 715 900. Isn't that another reason for hope? Because when the clocks change, you know, come next week, a 7:45 will still be bright outside. Now, that's another reason for hope. We need hope where we can get it these days, don't we? 5 on 5 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Our dog is mad for chips in our house. But then again, he'll eat anything. Our toddler throws stuff off the table for him. We find in our house, if you give them anything out of the ordinary, then you could be dealing with a mess the next morning. So we're very strict about food. But chatting this morning to people on Zoom call, seemingly a lot of cats have a penchant for pizza. Seemingly that seems to be a very popular food choice with cats. And I'm sure your particular pet has an idiosyncrasy when it comes to eating. There's another person, who is it? Neve said that she knows a friend of hers whose dog eats apples and pears, and they eat them in a very human-like fashion. They capture them between the front 2 paws, and then they'll just lick it a bit, and then they'll take a little bite out of it and continue on like that. Anyway, 5 on 5 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. That chomping noise drives me mad. I knew it would. There's a name for that. And that bulldog sound, it sounds like my husband sleeping, says Caroline. Good afternoon. 5 on 5 5 1 Ray at RTE.ie. Dario G, Sunshine, with a sample of Life in a Northern Town by the Dream Academy. Of course, you knew that. 5 on 5 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. This song would make anyone dance, says that person. And Dr. Dance would have been proud of my dancing around to that, says Mary. Keep it going, Mary. Problem solving, mental health, mood, exercise, all of those things wrapped up in a little dance around the kitchen. I just looked at Pat Meaney's video, Inspector Detective Pat Meaney, to you. So uplifting, he looks like a gas man. Thanks for serving your country, Pat, says Jackie. And on pets and food, oh my God, I thought it was just our mad cat who's crazy for pizza crusts. And my cat loves soft, warm ice cream, says Lucy. And our dog eats shoes and wood and couches and curtains and anything help. I'm not an expert. It sounds to me like you have a pup there and they'll grow out of it. Our golden retriever pup ate a trampoline. So there you go. Our new puppy is mad for the rugby on TV. He's watched all the Six Nations men's matches, start to finish. It's priceless. He's mucking about now in the park with a bashed up ball, Betty. Well, Betty, there's another game on tonight. It's France v Scotland, isn't it? And if France win it by 21 points and get a bonus point or something like that, they win the championship. And if they don't, then Wales win it. And then there's a big match on tomorrow in the Pro 14 when Leinster take on Munster. That'll be a good one. So loads of entertainment for your pup on the rugby front over the weekend. Our dog, half Labrador, half Pointer, eats apples, pears, bananas, plums, grapes, pieces of orange, carrots, stalks from cabbage leaves and raw eggs. I don't want to be around when he, you know, does his business. Thank you very much. Don't want to be around at all. 5 on 5 on RayRT.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Martin King is on the line. How you doing, Martin?
I'm all right, Ray. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. Now, people will know you from the weather and now from the 6 o'clock show, and they'll see you on Sunday night in a new documentary called We Need to Talk About Dementia. And Virgin Media and One have been doing great programming across the week, drawing our attention to the plight of people with dementia and people caring for people with dementia. And your fundraising as well, donateforDementia.ie. This was a very personal documentary for you to make, Martin?
It certainly was, Ray, because I was in with you in February of last year before all the madness happened. And we lost my mom to dementia in May of 2019, but it was something she'd had. Well, we saw the first signs of it in 2006. So it was a journey with it, but it tends to be for the person involved and for the people around them.
And I say it's a very personal documentary, and it's a sort of, you're on a quest to try and maybe understand what your mother might have been feeling. That's one part of it. And the other part of it is to find out if this is what is ahead of you. So we could do with the first bit first. So you sat down with your two sisters, Claire and Etna, and you were sort of trying to reminisce and try and pinpoint when maybe the first signs of your mother's dementia appeared.
Yeah, that's how the documentary kind of opens. It's myself and two of my sisters having a chat, and Claire, of course, was right front and centre because she lived in the family home. So when, like, my dad was already ill after a couple of strokes, so he was debilitated down the right side of his body. So she was caring for him, and then slowly but surely, things start happening with my mom. And so by circumstance rather than design, she was the carer for both of them. And of course, there's a whole pile of people around the country. For every person that has dementia, there is a family member looking after them at the best of times. And they kind of get forgotten. So we sat down, and Claire, of course, she started to tell some of the stuff and that she had to deal with, but also how it was impacting on her emotional and mental health. And of course, Etna, because it was my mom, like my four sisters helped more than myself and my brother did, because obviously as dementia progresses, there are needs that need to be tended to, and like my mom wouldn't have wanted any of us to have to look after her in that way, but it was, you know, I think it was a little more dignifying for my sisters to be able to do that.
Because your mother
spoke about that.
Your mother was a very independent woman. Tell us a bit about her, Chrissy.
Massively independent and incredibly funny. She grew up in De Valera's Ireland, Ray, probably like your own mom. So She came from a large family, and she missed a lot of school growing up as well, because she was in hospital quite a bit. And of course, by age 11 or 12, you know, in 1940s, 1950s Ireland, if you wanted to carry on in secondary school, it was going to cost. There was no free secondary school then. So she was into the workplace. She met my dad, and they settled down to have a family. And as it was then, a single woman gave up her job before she got married to make room for another single woman who needed a job. And she would then take on the role of homemaker, and my dad would take on the role of breadwinner. So doing that, she was homemaker, peacemaker. She was the hugger. She was, she was there for the bulk of the time because my dad was working. She was the disciplinarian. But both of them, both my mum and dad, had a great sense of fun. They loved a party, and you'll pick that up from some of the pictures that you'll see in the documentary on Sunday. She was very loving and very warm, and it was the sudden change that kind of alerted my sister to something might be going on here.
Go on.
Yeah, we were off on a holiday, a family holiday in Florida in 2006, and myself, Jenny, and the children, and my sister and her husband, my mother. There were about 12 of us in total on the trip. And we rented a couple of houses to stay in, and my mum stayed with my sister. And one evening, my mum, just out of nowhere and completely out of character, just turned on my sister and snapped at her, because she said, "We're coming to America and you promised we were going to go shopping, and we haven't been shopping, and we'd just been shopping." And I can't remember if we were shopping that day or the previous day, but we had been shopping. She lost the head over this and became very irate. And even my brother-in-law said, that's so out of character for your mom to fly off the handle like that. But we, of course, put it down to Florida. It's July, it's humid, she could be dehydrated, she could also be jet lagged. She was 71 at that stage, Ray. So there were a lot of reasons why that could have happened. We never thought that it could be something like dementia. And we learned during the making of this that she had actually turned on my wife. We were on a trip to Busch Gardens, and we had our youngest, Alex, was only 3 at the time, so he wasn't able to get on a lot of the stuff there. So Jenny took charge of him, and my mum stayed with her, and they had to make some journey to the far side of the park, but couldn't get on the same contraption to get back to where they started. So they had to walk across the park, and my mum turned on her as they were walking. And whatever about us as children, you know, she would quickly tell us if we were out of line. She'd put manners on us, but like the in-laws, they were the ones that were making our kids happy. So they were like gods. So for her to turn on one of our in-laws was completely out of character.
It's aggression is a symptom of dementia and Alzheimer's that people don't talk about a lot. It's a very real for the people around the person suffering.
Yeah, and when it's from somebody who's so loving and warm and generally the peacemaker in the household, it comes as a bit of a shock. And my sister Claire, she witnessed that more often than we did, because she was living in the home. And even though we'd go in and we'd visit for a couple of hours, or I might call over on a Saturday and bring my mom over to my house, and she'd babysit. Now, at that stage, she was more than able to babysit. She was more than able to go to work, and she did. That gave my sister a bit of respite as well. But at the best of times, you know, even with the help that, you know, the HSE would provide, maybe for an hour or an hour and a half in the day, for those nighttime hours when there's nobody there but my mom, my dad, who are both in need of care, and my sister would get to the point where she would go to bed knowing, I'm not going to get a full night's sleep. But there's so many people like that, even listening to us now.
And when did your mother get the diagnosis, Martin?
That happened, we had to convince her, because, you know, she had taken care of my grandmother, my father's mother, when she had dementia. So she would have known some of the signs. And I think she would have been in denial that she had it. Like, we were making excuses for some of her forgetfulness. And, so, you know, I'm putting some of her, you know, turns, her bad tempered turns, down to just, yeah, maybe just getting on and being less tolerant as she went on in her years. But it was becoming a little more frequent. I don't think she wanted to go for tests, because I'm sure she saw the signs herself and didn't want to be told. And I can understand that. I don't know if I would want to be told, but she was avoiding it. But eventually we said, look, Mom, you're going to go for a full MOT. They're going to check everything to make sure that you're okay. And because of her fear, and also our fear, that if she was told, look, you have dementia, it could send her into a spiral and send her into a deep depression. So we thought, I think my sister said to the doctor, don't, if the tests confirm that she has dementia, don't tell her.
Right.
Tell her something else. Don't tell her. And I think it was like a little code they had set up. And so she went for the tests, and then she went back to get the results. And I remember Jenny was doing a wedding over in Mayo.
She's a photographer. And
she's a professional photographer. Yeah. So she was on her way to photograph a wedding in Mayo. And in fact, it was Jenny reminded me of it last night. She said, I remember that car journey, because she was on her way to shoot her final wedding before she went to have a brain tumour removed in February. And it was also the day before my birthday. So she wanted me to make that journey with her, so that, you know, she'd be with me on the day of my birthday. And then after doing some presents with the kids, she'd go off and shoot the wedding. But on the journey over, my phone rang, and it was my mum. And she rang to say, look, the tests came back. My heart is fine and everything is good. And as for my forgetfulness, apparently I got water on the brain, so it's nothing to worry about.
Water on the brain, right.
Yeah, and I knew when she said that.
And do people advise you that that's a good idea, that the person suffering doesn't get a diagnosis? And did you seek advice that, or was that just something you decided among yourselves?
That was something we decided amongst ourselves. Right. I like, my sister was taking her to get these tests done. And so whether that advice was suggested or whether that was something that we thought would be a better idea and then endorsed by the medical people, I don't know. Yeah. I do know, and I'm more than aware, that everybody has a right to know how they are and how their health is. Our concern was for my mum's mental state, from the point of view that if she's told it's dementia because some of her other family had got dementia, that she might like sink into a really deep depression.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's quite interesting.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. So she never knew that she had dementia, that you know of.
My sister Claire, who was at, like, she was at the coal face.
Yeah.
She said that, you know, Mom did know. She figured it out herself. Okay. But she didn't want to admit it.
And when you were in last February, we were talking about that your mum and your dad died within 4 weeks of each other in 2019. Your dad died 22nd of April, and then your mum died 21st of May. And you kept your dad's death from your mum.
Yeah, yeah. It was because we were worried about that, you know, first stage grief.
Right.
That if, if we went and told her, listen, dad's passed away, she'd be able to take in that moment and she'd go to first stage grief. And then she might forget about it a little while later, because dementia affects short-term memory as well. But then she'd remember it again. She might wonder where he is and then went, oh, hang on, they told me he's dead. And then she's back to first stage grief again. And we just thought, her heart is going to break. And my sister Claire was just saying, just the other day, she said, do you remember Dad's fleece? And it came back to me as well, that during those couple of weeks, she wouldn't sleep without the fleece on her lap, and she would hold on to it. And that's how she slept. So she got a sense of sadness and just held on to that. But of course, we'd go in to see her and she'd say, have you seen your dad? And I said, no. He might be at work. And she said, no, he's, I think I told you before, one day she said, he's, oh no, I know where he is. He put Paul in the pram and he took him out for a walk. Now, Paul at that stage was 53. Yeah. So it would need to be a very big
It's sort
trap.
Of funny as well, isn't it?
It is funny. Yeah. It's funny. It's sweet as well.
Yeah.
But that's where she was in her happy place. Yeah. And, you know.
And you say, as you said before, and Etten and Claire said as well, that the sequence probably worked well. You know, your dad went first and then your mum went. The other part of the documentary is you trying to, you know, you meet people, you meet Marguerite, who had early onset Alzheimer's with her daughter, Blonda, down in Cashel. And you meet Simon, whose mother, Jackie, has, you know, she's in the final stages of dementia. And then Mary and Sean up in Fermanagh. You also meet scientists and doctors and your mum had it, and you're saying that your dad's mum had it, and then a number of aunties had it. So your fear is that it's in the genes. So what did you discover there?
What I discovered was that there's only a small percentage chance of it being hereditary.
Okay.
There is a chance, there is a genetic form, but only a small percentage chance that it's hereditary. So it's at the best of times random, pot luck, whatever you want to call it, or pop bad luck. So I got some answers to that. And the fact, like, I did wonder, is this hereditary? And what came back to me was, well, only to 1 or 2%.
Right.
But of course, it's a growing thing. We're told that by the year 2050, the amount of people suffering with dementia, it will double in Ireland.
Yeah, well, that's because we're living longer. Yeah, we're living longer, you see, and we've been kept alive longer by modern medicine. So, that's worrying. And the scientists in Trinity College were saying that we don't know what causes it, so you can't find a cure for something you don't know what the cause is. But anyway, there is hope in it. Brian Lawler, hopeful, and the people you spoke to who are living with dementia, there's hope there. And you went out to that nursing home that exclusively takes people who have dementia, and there was a lovely atmosphere out there. So that's all. It's a lovely documentary. It's very heartfelt, and you know, I think it'll strike a chord with people. We need to talk about dementia, and it's on at 8 o'clock this Sunday on Virgin Media One, and it's followed by Finding Jack Charlton, which I've seen already, which is an amazing documentary. And there's access there to Jack Charlton before he died in his home, and he, of course, suffered from dementia as well. Will you please pass on my best to Martin and his family? Where's that? Such a great guy. His attitude and positivity are just what the country needs right now, says Tadhg. And I can hear it there, Martin, in you, that the whole experience of making this documentary is it's sucked a bit of energy out of you, has it?
It has. It's been an emotional journey because, you know, I'm going back to, you know, that time again. You know, you when someone passes, you remember all the good times because they are the things you want to remember. But I've had to go back and remember, you know, the dementia. And I never spoke to my mum about how she felt about having dementia because I didn't want to make her aware that she had it. Mm. She thought she was just in a hospital. So, I'm tapping, as my wife said as well, she said, I was worried about you going back to those feelings that you had when your mom slipped away, but also tapping into maybe some of the feelings that you never actually tapped into since she passed. And that kind of has happened. But whatever about me being positive, Marguerite and Sean are living and walking, talking examples that we should not write somebody off because they have dementia. Mm. You know, there's a lot of life and quality of life to be had between your diagnosis and the end.
And knowing what you know now, having spoken to the scientists and the doctors and the people who suffer with it, would you have done anything differently, do you think, with your mother?
Is that too big a question? No, it's not. Like I wondered after going to St. Joseph's in Shankill, where it's a dedicated dementia care home. And going there thinking, my mum really would have benefited being here. But also knowing that if she was there, she wouldn't have been with my dad. Right. So they were together for the last couple of years of their lives and even though they were in residential care, they were together.
And, so they were in a big room, wasn't it, Martin? A big room.
They had this massive room. Right. It was just gorgeous where they were. And But they wouldn't have, because it's dementia dedicated, they probably wouldn't have been together. And I think them being together when my mother was having those moments of and times of clarity, I think that kept her going and might have slowed down the progression just a little bit, because they were as they were before I came along. It was just the two.
They loved each other, yeah, so, very much.
And
we've spoken to you before about that. You know, the 60s had this lovely, wonderful, loving family environment right through your lives.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Right, we need to talk about dementia. I'll give you one more plug there. Virgin Media One this Sunday at 8 o'clock. Martin, thanks for taking time out to talk to us today. Mind yourself.
Thanks for talking to us, Ray. I appreciate it. Look after yourself.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Misophonia, says Angela, is the word for soft sound noises, intolerance, chomping, chewing, hard, sweet, snoring, usually made by other people or pets. Misophonia. So you don't like sounds like that if you suffer from misophonia. Is that it? And I was listening to you in the car yesterday talking about dream jobs. My son Anthony told his teacher when he was 5 that he wanted to be Shaggy from Scooby-Doo when he grew up and hunt ghosts. She said it was one of the most unique ones she had heard. Brought back a happy memory for me. So thanks. He's 20 now and studying sports therapy. But looking at him last night with the barbers closed, he looks a bit like Shaggy. I wanted to be a nurse myself and was very lucky to be able to pursue that dream. Still at it 35 years on. Says Martina Ryan. Well, still doing what he wanted to do more than 40 years on is Luca Bloom, and he joins us now from his home in County Clare. How are you doing, Luca?
It's lovely to hear your voice. Hello, Ray. How are you keeping?
I'm good. I'm keeping good. And that's it. Like, playing the guitar and singing songs was your dream job, your dream when you were a young lad, wasn't it?
I was thinking to myself recently, when I grow up, the thing I'd love to be is a dry robe influencer. I've become one of these fellas that puts on the dry robe and goes down to Lahinch and jumps in the sea, and I'm like a cross between a 10-year-old boy and King Lear running into the sea shouting me head off. It's beautiful.
Now, we better get it straight here. You take off the... You remove the dry robe before you get into the sea.
And remove then the dry robe, jump into the sea. There's about 3 or 4 of us, and they're the only people I physically see during the day. We congregate for very briefly to get into the togs, and we race into the sea in Lahinch, and we come straight back out, straight into the dry robe. And that's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to become a dry robe influencer.
See, there's a dry robe war going on up here, because people in certain parts of Dublin and Wicklow feel that their beaches are being invaded by people who wear dry robes, and they're not too happy about it.
God help them.
I think it's a brilliant invention. It's
one of my favourite inventions of all time, because it means that when I come out of the ice cold water into the ice cold air, I can don the dry robe and I can have just a little chat with people before I head home.
Without chattering. Chattering as opposed to chatting. So you can chat as opposed to chatter. Yeah. Listen, congratulations on the album. Did I read it correctly? Is this the third album you've recorded in lockdown? Is that
The lockdown trilogy. One of the three albums was an intentional album. The one it was called Bittersweet Crimson. I actually was speaking to you last year about that when that came out in the middle of last year. That was the only intended album for the last year. But prior to that, actually, there was a live gig I did in Antwerp that was recorded without my knowledge by the crew I was working with. And we got such a lovely feeling from it that we released that in February last year. Mm-hmm. And then Bittersweet Crimson was done in Windmill Lane with some beautiful musicians. And that came out in the middle of the year. But as the year was progressing, I realized there was something happening to me, and it was COVID-related, and it resulted in this album, Out of the Blue.
Right. And what was happening to you?
Well, a lot, as was happening to the world. This time last year, I did my last gigs just over this time last year. My last sort of gig away from home would have been a festival in Geneva on the 7th of February 2020. And I haven't really done any of my own solo gigs since. And when I realized this time last year that I was losing all my year's work and 4 tours that were booked, that I kind of went into a little period of mourning. And then I said to myself around about May or June, what am I going to do about this? And I decided the first thing I needed to do was to let go of the hope that the gigs would return, and just because that was kind of doing my head in. You know, it's like, it's a bit like a Kildare football fan. It's the hope that kills you.
But it's sort of counterintuitive, isn't it? Well, it's definitely bucking the trend, because everybody's telling us to have hope and we'll get out the other side. But you decided to give up on hope.
Well, I decided to give up on hope on a very specific area, which was specifically the gigs. That doesn't mean that I give up hope on life or other forms of creativity. Because the next question is, okay, if you're going to let go of this need to be out doing gigs, which I had to let go of, because, you know, it was every, I'd be sitting at home practicing my songs with no idea when I was going to get to perform them. So I thought, well, let's take a different approach. Let's respond to this differently. And my friend and guitar hero, Steve Cooney, had just released his beautiful album of old Irish harp tunes. And I learned one of them. I spent weeks and weeks sitting at home with the guitar, learning this tune called Bridget Cruz. And something about the process of learning that was calming my mind, helping me to begin to accept this stillness where, you know, we're not being allowed to run around, fly around, drive around, do the gigs, etc., and to channel that energy into playing the guitar in a way that was kind of healing for me. And so I learned another one, and then I learned another one, and then I learned a Pat O'Riordan tune, and then I learned an Earl Leonard song, and then I began to write my own pieces. And I found the process very healing for me. And then eventually it came to my mind, well, maybe if this is so healing for me, maybe it might be healing for others. So I invited individuals, just one at a time, over a period of months, just the odd person to come and sit the opposite end of the room and hear these tunes. And everybody was kind of encouraging me to go forward with it. And here we are with the result out of the blue.
It's a beautiful album, Luca.
Oh, thank you.
No, I listened to it this morning, and it's really beautiful. I know about this song. You're going to tell us about it now. But even not knowing, it's laden down with emotion in a good way. So tell us about it. I Hear You is the name of it.
This track is called I Hear You. It's even hearing it on the radio. It's my first time to hear it on the radio. It's kind of an emotional thing for me, because I remember exactly what I was feeling when I wrote this. It was during last year at the height of COVID, and in the middle of last year I lost two very good friends. Art O'Brien was a really good friend of mine, a beautiful, beautiful man who many people in Ireland knew and loved, and I was one of the many people who knew and loved him. And my dear friend from my hometown, Newbridge, County Kildare, John White, both taken from us. John and I became really close friends over a 20-year period, and neither of these friends were taken by COVID, but the end of their lives was completely dominated by COVID because of the difficulties of visiting and connecting with them. And I found myself playing this piece of music and writing this piece of music, and I realized that I was feeling something that was throughout the whole country probably, and still is, this sense of loss and the strange way that people have had to say farewell to people that they love, and the disconnection between loved ones, people who've shared whole lives together, and then suddenly at this unbelievably vital moment in their lives, the end of a loved one's life, and the person losing the loved one, that they are removed from each other. And when I was playing this piece of music, as I was writing it, I knew I wanted to try and find a way without words to articulate an emotion through music that just said, I hear you, I hear what you're going through, I feel. And even hearing it now, the start of it there in during this interview, I could feel myself kind of welling up with a bit of emotion, because every time I hear this, I know exactly, I revisit exactly how I felt when I was writing it.
You play a little bit more of it now. Here we go. let's all go to bed now. It's very calming. It's very calming. So you're not singing on any of the songs here. It's all instrumental. Was there a reason for that? It's a courageous thing to do. Well, not a courageous thing, but you know, it's something you haven't done before.
It felt like a courageous thing to do because I knew I was stepping, I was moving into a lane very occupied by seriously gifted musicians, such as my friend Steve Cooney and Donna Hennessy and, you know, Artie McGlynn and so many amazing guitar players who I would have regarded, I'd regard as heroes of mine. And I'd never considered doing an instrumental album before, but I kind of felt a bit speechless last year. I didn't really have any inclination to sing or write songs at all. I haven't written a song in over a year, nor felt the urge to. And I began to realize during the course of the last year that as well as being an instrument to accompany my songs, that the guitar itself has been an instrument of comfort for me all through my life. And it was just lovely to just be here and with this gorgeous guitar that George Loudon made for me and just play really simple melodies and feel that sense of ease coming over me. And the response I've gotten to this album is kind of amazing, particularly that tune, actually, that particular tune. And it is kind of relaxing and it is comforting, I hope. Yeah. That was its intention.
I can't believe you're hitting pension age this year, Luca.
Yeah, well, it comes to all of us. It comes to all of us eventually, Ray. If we keep jumping in the sea and or cycling or running, as I know you like to get up on the bike, and as I do myself, and the pension eventually comes around, and I'm really looking forward on the 23rd of May to receiving eventually my first pension on the island of Ireland.
Right, because like. You know, like you were brought up in Newbridge. I'm reading here that, you know, this album in a way has brought you back to your bedroom in Newbridge when you were a teenager, playing the guitar over and over again, trying to perfect it. And it just, like, more than 50 years now, where have they gone?
Where have they gone? And most of what the COVID thing has brought us is pain and suffering and loneliness and separation. But one of the things that it has given us is time.
Yeah.
And I've had the time in the last year here in Clare to reflect on those beautiful times back in Kildare. During the day I'd be cycling around the Curragh, and during the evening time I'd be sitting up in the bedroom with the guitar with no audience or no idea that there ever would be an audience, and just enjoying the pure pleasure of just being with the music. Mm. And that's something that's come back to me very, very powerfully in the last year, and I'm really grateful for that.
Kerfunkton Jig.
Yeah, written by Hammy Hamilton and recorded so beautifully by Martin Hayes and Dennis Cahill on an album called Lonesome Touch, which would be one of my top 10 favourite all-time albums by anybody, anywhere. And it was kind of terrifying for me to tackle some of these tunes that I dived into last year because they were created by some of my heroes.
Yeah. You don't like people asking you when you're going to gig again, so I won't ask you that.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is people sort of look at you and sort of go, when do you see yourself back gigging? And I just kind of look at them like, you know, I mean, who knows? None of us knows. And so I probably spoke a bit too heavily by saying about giving up hope. It's not really about giving up hope. It's just about letting go of expectation for now.
I get it completely. I get it completely, you know. And that makes it easier then, you know.
It makes it easier because it brings you right into the now.
Yeah.
Right into this present moment. Make the most of it and try and find... Even the thing of jumping in the sea, I'd never done that before in my life in wintertime. It never even crossed my mind. But I sort of thought, well, how am I going to get through this if I can't go anywhere? Just do some different things, you know. Just play your guitar in a way you never played it before. Jump in the sea.
Yeah.
I invested in an exercise bike and a rowing machine before the Christmas, and I'm up on that every day. And it's hilarious, like, but it's just trying to find ways to respond to something that's very challenging without going down the rabbit hole of negativity.
Yeah. Are you on social media? Or,
No. Not in that regard.
No.
Are
you reading, or what else are you doing as well as playing the guitar?
One of the interesting things that's happened to me with COVID is that I find my concentration's not what it was. I find my concentration is... I start to read, and sometimes by the time I've gotten to the end of a page, I've kind of forgotten what the previous page was. So my reading has definitely deteriorated somewhat in the last year. Like a lot of people, I've dived into Netflix, and I'm walking a lot more. I'm starting to cycle a bit now. And when you live in a place, as I am very privileged to live in, within a 5K radius, there's plenty to do.
Right. Are you within 5K of the Cliffs of Moher?
I'm 5K from the Cliffs of Moher and 5K from Lahinch.
Wow.
You know, it's in that regard...
You're a lucky man.
I am blessed. I'm absolutely blessed, and I count my blessings every single day and appreciate it every single day. And, you know, the only thing I have to complain about is the people I miss that I can't see.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I've no complaints.
Out of the Blue is the new album by Luca Bloom, and that's the title track playing in the background there. Where do you get a decent dry robe, Luca, for someone's birthday?
Ben's. Down in Lahinch there on the prom. You can get them on the prom in Lahinch. I don't know if they're open at the moment to get them, but the decent dry robe is definitely to be had.
You can get them online as well. I got one for Jenny for Christmas. It's still
good
hanging
on
up
you.
In the
well
back done. Of the bathroom door. I listened to Luke in the car recently driving inside my 5K. Put me in great form. So there you go.
Can I be so bold as to suggest how people can get it?
Yes, coach, definitely do it. Go
from
for it.
From my sister, Anne Rin, who has been running my website for me and with me for over 20 years at www.lucabloom.com. You can either download it, or my sister Anne Rin, will happily post you a CD. And there you go. And thank you, Ray. You're so kind.
No, and just final thing, my daughter, Kate, who's 14, walked into the room this morning when I was listening to it, and she said, "What's that? It's really nice. It's really lovely. It reminds me of Spain," she said.
Lovely. Thank you, Kate.
So, and then I pictured you in a nice little bistro by the beach in the corner playing your lovely guitar. You know,
that'd be Joe's in Lahinch.
That'd be Joe's in Lahinch. Luca, mind yourself. Great talking to you.
Lovely talking to you, sir. And thank you so much, Ray.
Okay. See you, Luca. Bye, bye, bye.
God bless
the
you.
Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And each Tosh now in the Free Skelton and Oaktail, Mara Breed Nihulon. Gurumagat, Mara Breed, thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 5 on 551 ray at rg.ie. There were two thoughtful and considered conversations in the first hour. Let's see what you were saying about them. Brenda says, "I lost my mum twice, once to dementia, and then when she died, I saw my mum change before my eyes. Very difficult to witness. Dementia is an awful disease for not only the person, him or herself, but the families who see the person change completely." Thank you for talking about it. Well, that's on 8 o'clock, Virgin Media 1 on Sunday night. Martin King talking about his mum's dementia. "My mum had dementia for 13 years. It's a sad and lonely illness and very frightening for the person who has it. To her and family and friends, it was heartbreaking to see the decline in a wonderful, loving, caring person disappear before her eyes. Delighted that there is so much information available now. I do not miss the mam who was sick." You see, that's the problem for a lot of people, I think, is that that's their memory. The last memory of their loving, funny, caring mother is a different person completely. "Aggression and snapping, which were out of character, were something we noticed with our late mam before her diagnosis. She died with dementia. And Miss My Dad, he had dementia. When he was sitting in the hospital, he thought he was in his own front room, says that person. And on Luca Bloom, just want to send Luca Bloom best wishes. I remember as a very poor student in Waterford, me and a friend were having a couple of pints in Waterford, and Luca was sitting, was setting up for a gig. Because we didn't have the price of the admission, we drank up. But as we were heading out the door, Luca came over to ask why we were leaving. And when we explained about the lack of money, he told us to stay for free and sent us down 2 pints. Never forget his kindness, says Des. That's a lovely thing to do. And Patricia says, I'm blown away and my emotions are stirred after only hearing a few bars of Luca's music. I'm so looking forward to getting the album. Out of the Blue is the name of it. And lucabloom.com is where you'll get it. I better make sure that website is address. Yeah, is correct. Yeah, it is lucabloom.com. Tell Luca I saw him playing Clifton once. Mighty stuff. Can't wait for gigs again, says Anya. And I saw Luca live in Hoboken, New Jersey. Class act, says Padraig. And then on pets and the things they might eat and stuff like that. We had a rescue dog for 19 years and every morning he had a banana and a cup of tea. Sorry, I just have a picture of the dog sitting up at the kitchen table, you know, the banana in one paw and the cup of tea in the other. My dog loves orange segments. She's straight over to me once I start peeling one. And when I used to visit my late mum, I said to my husband, we were having steak today. And when we got into her house, she said, I have a big steak on for the dog. So she used to feed the dog steak. I'm sure she wasn't on her own in that regard. And our dog ate a trampoline too. We were a bit worried about him, but he bounced back fine. Hey, thanks, Mick. Yeah, quiz of today. I know. There you go. There it is. Yeah. Today, the 26th of March, 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. We have two contestants we're about to meet. But first, let me tell you that all this week, we've been helped out by our good friends at Electric Ireland. And they want to ask us to ask you to search Electric Ireland smart meters to find out how you can manage your energy usage a lot better. So Electric Ireland smart meters, they've given us a 50-inch HD smart TV to give away. So thanks very much to the people at Electric Ireland. Sarah Cavazza is in Delgany in Wicklow. How are you doing, Sarah?
Hello there, how are you?
Good, I know that name. I think I might have spoken to somebody with that name in the last 6 months, have I?
Yeah, you have, you spoke to my sister.
Aha, how did she do?
She didn't win anyway.
All right, okay.
She did well.
So you're on to save the family's honour.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So let's. I think I remember that there's an Italian
that's
heritage,
right.
Is that correct? Yes, go
that's
on.
That's right, my dad's Italian, yeah.
Okay, but you were born and bred Irish.
Yes, that's right.
Right. And why did your dad arrive here in the first place?
He met my mother and fell in love, and the rest is history.
Where did they meet?
They actually met in Jersey, in the Channel Islands.
Aha.
And a holiday romance that blossomed, really.
Wow. Do you know that only 2% of holiday romances end up in marriage?
I didn't know that.
No, I just read that years ago and I don't know why it stuck in my brain. I wish I could get rid of it and free my brain up for more important statistics, but there you go, it's stuck.
Very good.
How are you today, Sarah?
All good.
Yeah.
Finished now for the weekend, so
right.
Looking forward to a nice weekend.
Any plans, sitting in, watching the hailstones?
No, yeah, watching the hailstones, yeah. Get out for a few walks, maybe, that's about it.
Right, okay. And did I see here you got the vaccine?
Yes, I did get the vaccine, yes. I'm a carer, so...
Oh, right.
I've gotten the first part of the vaccine,
so,
yeah.
So are you a professional carer or a...
Yeah, professional carer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because we had Aisling on a few weeks ago and I still can't understand why people who are carers in their homes for members of their own family aren't being vaccinated.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Does it make sense to
no.
you?
No. No, definitely not. No. They're just as important.
Of course they are. Mm-hmm. You're up against Audrey Shields in Ennis and County Clare. How are you doing, Audrey?
Great, thanks. Great. How are you?
Good. It's five seasons in one day up here. How's it down in Clare?
Probably 10 seasons in one day.
They're mad hailstones, aren't they?
I know, yeah, they're bucketing down, but yeah. Then there's sun for 2 minutes, so yes. It gives you hope, and then it's lashing again. So.
And do you know the way the beauty salons are closed at the moment?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, can I suggest that if you're looking for a cheap, actually a free dermabrasion on your face, just go out. Go out into those hailstones and tell you look very fresh after it.
Yeah, you're dead right.
Yeah. So what are you up to?
Not much. The same, just keeping up with our walks and our 5K. But there's worse places to be stuck now than Clare for that. So feeling fortunate to be down here for the lockdown.
Aha. So you originally lived where?
In Dublin, and then I was living in New York when I had to come home because of the pandemic. So I flew from Manhattan to Shannon Airport this time last year, and I've been there since.
Aha, in the family home?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Right. And was that a holiday, or were you coming home for good, or what?
I thought I was coming home for a few weeks, but it's been a year now. So I don't think I'll be back to New York anytime soon. But, you know, it actually has been lovely being down at home in Clare for the year.
And are you working from home?
Yeah, I work for a company in Dublin, and I'm able to work from in Clare.
Right, okay.
But now it's been a year, so I'm actually moving back up to Dublin next month with a friend, so we desperately need a TV.
Okay. Oh, you're desperate. All right. That's why you're on. Yeah, cut to the chase there. Quit the small talk, Ray. I just want to win the TV. I don't want to chat to you about Clare and running in Dingle and things like that. Yeah. So you've done the Dingle Marathon, I see.
Yeah, I did the Dingle Marathon in 2018.
Right.
It was my first full marathon, so it was really.
So you've been in America too long. We say marathon here. We don't say marathon.
Marathon.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? Out there to Drumquin, and then around. I didn't do the other part. I only drove it. The second part. It's a bit hilly for me, but it's a glorious, tough one, but a glorious one. Okay, let's see if we can give you a telly. Sarah will have something to say about that. Audrey, say good luck to Sarah.
Good luck, Sarah.
Good luck.
Good luck, Audrey.
Okay, five questions each. Whoever answers most correctly gets the TV. If it's a draw at the end of the five questions, we go to a tiebreaker. Good luck to you both. Here we go. Right, Sarah, first question for you. On this day in 2017, there were mass protests in Chile over the country's privatised pension system. On what continent would you find Chile?
South America?
Yep. And for you, Audrey, on this day in 1668, England took control of Bombay in India. On what continent would you find India?
Asia.
Yep, there are sort of two questions to get you settled in and comfortable. Now, on to your second question, Sarah. Have a listen to this. On this day in 2005, that TV series about the adventures of a Time Lord returned to BBC TV after 16-year absence. Can you name it?
Doctor Who?
Is the correct answer. Well done. Audrey, have a listen to this.
You have my heart broken, Christy Brown. Sometimes I think you are my heart. Look, if I could give you my legs, I would gladly take yours. What's wrong with you, Christy?
On this day in 1990, at the 62nd Academy Awards, that Irish actress won the Best Supporting Actress Oscar for her role in My Left Foot. Can you name her? Any idea? No.
Frida. I know.
Yeah. No.
Is it Frida Fricke? Frida Fricker?
He's
Brenda Fricker.
Right, I'm going to take that. You were there.
I knew it was on the tip of my tongue.
No, it was there in the back of your brain. So you had the BR, and then you had the Flicker thing, and it became a Fricker and a Brenda Fricker. And I'm going to give that to you. I don't think Sarah would have any problem with that. Okay, well done on that. The glorious Brenda Fricker there is the correct answer. Question number three for you, Sarah. On this day in 2001, Kazakhstan's Prime Minister opened an oil pipeline from the giant Tengiz oil field direct to Russia. Which of these is the capital city of Kazakhstan? Almaty or Islamabad?
Almaty?
Is the correct answer? Yeah, Islamabad is the capital of Pakistan. And for you, Audrey, similar question. On this day in 2012, Macky Sall was elected as president of Senegal. Which of these is the capital city of Senegal? Dakar or Tripoli?
Dakar.
Is the correct answer. Tripoli is Libya. Right. 3-3. Sarah, your fourth question is another audio one. Have a listen to this.
Take me home. Yeah, yeah. Take me home.
On this day in 1986, Geffen Records signed that band. Can you name them?
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses is the correct answer. Well done. And for you, Audrey, have a listen to this piece. And this day in 1977, that singer released his first record, Less Than Zero. Can you name him?
Less Than Zero.
Any idea? No.
Oh my God, I'm racking my brain.
No. No, I need an answer from you, Audrey.
I don't know.
Elvis Costello. Probably a bit before your time. You probably never heard of him, have you? You know, there you go. Right, Sarah, you're 4. Audrey, you're 3. All is not lost. Audrey, if Sarah answers her final question incorrectly and you answer your final question correctly, we're into a tiebreak situation. So it's a big question for you, Sarah. Good luck with this. Diana Ross, American singer and actress, was born on this day in Detroit, Michigan. In what year was she born? 1940, 1944 or 1948?
1940.
It was 1944.
Oh, sugar.
Sugar is right. Right. Now you're on 4. Audrey's on 3, but she has a question in hand. Audrey, get this right, and we're in a tiebreak situation. Good luck with this. On this day in 2000, at the 72nd Academy Awards, Tom Cruise was nominated for a Best Actor Award for his role in Magnolia. In what year was Tom Cruise born? 1962, 1965, or 1968? I need an answer from you as quick as you can.
1962
is the correct answer.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, July the 3rd, 1962. He's 58. He'll be 59 this year. Which brings us to a tiebreak situation. So before you came on air, we asked you a question and both of you gave us an answer. So this is the question. On this day in 1838, William Lecky, historian and philosopher, was born in Blackrock, County Dublin. According to Google Maps, how long would it take to walk from Blackrock in Dublin to Maynooth in County Kildare? Answer in hours and minutes. Can you remember your guess, Sarah?
6 hours.
You said 6 hours. I can tell you that it's 32 kilometres. Audrey, can you remember your guess?
Unfortunately, I can, yes.
Go on.
I said 16 hours.
16? 16 hours, yeah. Yeah. Well, the correct answer is 6 hours and 35 minutes. So, sorry about that, Audrey.
No problem. Well done, Sarah.
Yeah. And listen, we'll send you down a Ray Darcy Show mug.
We need a mug for the apartment as well.
Exactly. Listen, because it's Friday and because I'm feeling generous, they'll kill me for this, but we'll send you down 2. Okay, 2.
Right, that's here.
Thanks, Audrey. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
see you. Bye. Sarah, well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, there is a 50-inch HD smart TV courtesy of Electric Ireland on its way to you in Delgany. Enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you now. Bye. Bye.
Thanks
well done. Bye. Bye.
Ray
bye,
Darcy
bye,
Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I'm on my feet, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I am. Signing up ready for the weekend, the company of Mr. Motivator!
Motivator is in the house! Yeah! Oh my goodness! You know what? I haven't slept all week because I've been so excited about being in your company.
I love you. I love you.
You know what? I love you too. Right. I was thinking to myself earlier, what is Ireland famous for? And I've arrived at 3 things.
Right.
Number 1, Ray Darcy! Number 2, the Olive Group. Who are the people who have helped me develop this wonderful club? Right. And Dr. Kathy Fulcher. Right. She is an amazing nutritionist. Oh my, you know, she's so fabulous.
You're a chancer. Anyway, listen. MrMotivatorsClub.com. Yeah. There's the plug. I've a bone to pluck with you, whatever they call it.
How long have you had this speech problem? How long?
No. You promised me, Mr. Motivator, a unitard in the post.
Yeah. You know what happened?
What happened?
I got in touch with a factory in Pakistan, And they said, we don't make children sizes. That's what they said. So what's happening is I'm going to be coming over to you and measuring you up and trying to, you know, fit you in a child one. I mean, is that okay?
yeah.
What? You didn't expect me to say that, did you?
No, I didn't. How have you been in lockdown? And I've seen some of your workouts. You're a very energetic man. Do you want to share your age with our listeners?
I am 68 going on 69. And you know something, Ray? I look so good. You know, you as my son, I'm very disappointed that you have a body and a face for radio. This is crazy because you're my son. You should be on telly, Ray. What's going on?
Well, I had a bit of a television career over the years, as it happens. So you're still pumping it out. You're still getting people moving. You're still giving people hope. You're motivating them.
Ray, you know something, when you love what you do, and especially when it comes to wellness, I mean, it comes from the heart. Every time I speak about it, it brings a smile to my face because I want to make every single person feel good about themselves. And if you want to change anything about your life, well, then I'm your man. And that's why I've set up that club. Another plug. Did you hear that? Another plug.
Yes. MrMotivatorsClub.com. Now, that's the last plug you're getting. Okay. That's
typical, isn't it? Well, I'm going to say this to you. I believe that the smile is the second best thing you can do with your lips, Ray. What's number one?
I've no idea.
Okay.
Okay, lead us in a bit of a workout to get us ready for the weekend.
All right.
Here we everybody. Go. Mr. Motivator.
Everybody sitting up now. Here we go. Push your shoulders up to the ears. Remember, you can get loads more of these exercises from the Mr. Motivator Club. Say yeah. It's for any age group, any level of fitness. Okay, now reach up to the ceiling. Bring the hands down. Tap your feet. And last one, squeeze your thighs together, legs together, knees together. Hold it tight. Imagine the lift door is closed. You're going up to the first floor. Squeeze the thighs together. The third floor, the fifth floor, the sixth floor. Now you're going to Ray Darcy's Cafe. That's on the 11th floor.
Woo!
Squeeze it tight. Oh, yeah. Now open the lift door. Doesn't that feel so good?
That feels good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to give them a chance to rest after that because we're going to do it again shortly. So if you weren't ready for that, clear a bit of space in the kitchen or wherever you might be because Mr. Motivator is in the house and he's going to give you another mini workout before the weekend.
But Ray, I was thinking to myself, why is it I don't have a once a week slot with you on a Monday where we call it motivation time? And I come on and we really lift people's spirits because... Come on, Ray. We've got to stop people falling asleep. Come on. You know, that happens.
Well, firstly, I would think that Monday isn't the best day.
Which is the best day?
I think Friday is a really good day. You see, if you try and force it with people on a Monday, they'll just go, go on, go away.
No, they won't. Because you see, the thing is, right, I got together with the Olive Group and Dr. Kathy Fulcher, and we set up this club. And I know that everybody needs to be motivated on a Monday. It's called Motivation Monday with Ray Darcy. Okay. Doesn't that sound good?
Okay, let's see how you do with this one. Here we go. We're back. Come on,
everybody,
Mr. Motivator.
Here we go. I want you to clap your hands now. Here we go. Go. Clap it out. Now tap your feet at the same time. Everybody, clap it out. Now, watch it now. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look left. Look right. Look left. Look right. Shake it all about. Now, what you do is pretend you're driving a car. Come on. Move the arm. There you go. Here we go. Let's go. Go. Here we go. Go. Come on now. Right. Okay. Hands up to the ceiling. Push it up. Yes, it's your life. And you've got to look after yourself because you're important. Remember, it's your life. Don't make anybody make you feel guilty for living it your way. Remember, today, love yourself. Do it now. Don't wait until you get well or lose weight or get the new job or the new relationship. Begin now by loving yourself. Remember, join the Mr. Motivator Club.
You're something else. Listen, I tell you what, we're going to have a meeting after this, Neil and Niamh and David and I, and we're going to consider your offer of a slot every Monday.
No, listen, stop considering it. Let's make a decision now because you're the man, Ray. You're the man. I don't know you are. No. I'm not even going to charge you because the thing is, right, if I can just say Mr. Motivator Club every single minute, then that's enough pay for me.
Right. We'll talk to you soon. Mr. Motivator, have a great weekend. See you. Bye.
See you. Be well.
Last time. There's a texter in saying, what was the name of Mr. Motivator's club again? He's a chancer. He's a chancer at Mr. Motivator. He's good crack though. Great energy. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, whatever you're doing. Do it safely. Thank you very much, Dr. Alban. Good luck. Have a great weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.